Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Sadi Ches in Shabbos. We're in Sadi Zayin Amid Beis. We're finishing up from yesterday's daf, and then we move to today's. We're talking about the Malach of Hotzah. We have been discussing Hotzah since we started Perek HaZorik. We talked about throwing. We talked about passing, Amoshit. We talked about being Mavir Dalamos, and so all these subcategories of Hotzah are coming together now in this 11th Perek of Shabbos. The case that we were talking about yesterday was throwing from a Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim with a Rishus HaYachid in the middle. On the bottom of Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, there is a Braisa that discusses this very case. Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid Bamsa. So Rebbe says, you're Chayiv. So now it didn't stop in the Rishus HaYachid. So one wonders then, why should you be Chayiv according to Rebbe, Rebbe Huda Nasi? So why should you be Chayiv? So the answer is because he subscribes to some form of Kluta Kamishon Chadamya. Now, not exactly. If you remember the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara didn't use those words to explain Rebbe, but rather it's a somewhat seemingly related concept of basic amandamalia dhamma, which means that the house is filled, meaning when I throw something into a house, and especially when you consider a house with it, which has a roof over the top, so in other words, it's a contained area, so it's as if the house is filled up, and so therefore we view the house as a solid, massive area. And so therefore, the item was thrown from Rishus HaRabim, landed, quote-unquote, in other words, right, halachically landed in the house, went from the house now to another Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. That was a statement made by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The Chachamim do not agree, your potter, because according to the Chachamim, it didn't rest in the house. Good. The question which we dealt with and we tried to discuss was, according to Rabbi, he says, you're chayiv, how many carbon chattas? One or two? Now, why should it be a choice of one or two? Because if you think about it a little bit more, you realize that there are actually two acts of hotzah. There's an act of hotzah and there's an act of hachnasa. You start with the act of hachnasa. You took something from Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid. That's hachnasa. And then there's an act of hotzah. You took something from the house to a Rishus HaRabim. So really, are there two? And you could make the argument that really you should be chayv two carbon chatzos. The problem with that argument is that we're talking about the Malach of Hachnasa and the Malach of Hotzah. Now, as we discussed in the beginning of the 11th parak, we talked about this earlier in the Masechta as well, Hotzah is the Av, Hachnasa is the Tolada. Now, as we've been discussing, we talked about this in the 7th parak, when you do an Av and its Tolada, so how many carbon chatzos is your Chayiv? So there is a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who says that you're Chayiv 2. But that's not the predominant position. The predominant position, you're only going to be Chayiv 1. So here, in one action, I did a Av and its Tolada. So it's very hard to argue that you're going to be Chayiv two carbon chatzos. It's much easier to argue, according to Rebbe, as long as you subscribe to this principle of basic Kamandamaya Adami, that you're only going to be Chayiv one carbon chatzos and not two. That's the easier position to take. That position is taken by Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda Merav Rav Ushmuel, that when Rebbe says, you're chayiv, only going to be chayiv in only one. Okay, but then we turned the Amud and we went to Sadi Zayin Amud Beis yesterday, and we saw that there are Amoraim who want to argue that you're going to be chayiv, that according to Rebbe, who says that you're going to be chayiv, you're going to be chayiv not one, but rather two. Okay? And it's difficult. And it's a difficult position to explain within Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it might be a difficult position to explain within Rebbe. Well, what about Rebbe Yehuda? Now, Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe are not the same. Rebbe's Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. Rebbe Yehuda is Rebbe Yehuda Eli. Okay, different Tana. Okay, Rebbe Yehuda was a late generation Tana, but a different Tana. Well, maybe we'll say it within Rebbe Yehuda. So what we'll do now is we'll start towards the top of the Amud, Sadi Zayin Amud Beis, and we'll pick it up right from this point in time. So, Amale Rav Yosef, Mara Ha Masni Rav Akashle Derebi Adarebi. Now, you had difficulty saying it within Rebbe. Anana Derebi Yehuda Masni Svalo Kashalan. But we're going to say it within Rebbe Yehuda, and it won't pose a problem. The Tanya. So, first, the statement of Rebbe Yehuda. Mirishus Yechle Rishus HaRabim, Va'avar Abba Amos, Mirishus HaRabim. So, let's say the following scenario. I did two things. Well, really, I did one thing, but it resulted in two possible liabilities. Number one, I threw from a Rishus Yechle to Rishus HaRabim. Okay, and furthermore, it traveled in Rishus HaRabim for Amos in that throw. So now, the Avar Arba Amos Rishus HaRabim, Rav Yehuda Mechayv V'Chachamim Pochim. And Rav Yehuda says, Yechayv V'Chachamim Seir Pater. Okay, now here's where it gets tricky. Now Rav Yehuda says, Yechayv. How many carbonates are Yechayv? One or two? So once again, we can now equivocate. Well, the argument to say one is that you did one act of Hotzah. The argument to say too is that you did Hotzah, plus you also were Mavir Dal and Amos Bershus Arabim. So you could make that argument. Now, Mavir Dal and Amos Bershus Arabim, how did that work? Meaning, how did that happen? So what you have to say, if you want to make this argument, is that Rav Yehuda subscribes to the principle of Kluta, Kluta Kamishoncha. So that means, watch the progress. I start in the house, it leaves the threshold of the house. That's already now Malacha number one of Hotzah. Now, if you subscribe to the principle of Kluta, it's as if it now has become stationary right after it exited the house, and then it goes another four amos, and then it stops after those four amos, and that would be the Malacha being Mavir Dal Amos Bershus Arabim. Okay? And so now, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and now Rav Yehuda, the Amora, student of Shmuel, says, Mechayv Hayi Rav Yehuda Shtayim, Achas Mishum Otsav, Achas Mishum Havara. So when Rav Yehuda says that you're Chayev, even though he doesn't say B'loshon Rabim, but I'm telling you, says Rav Yehuda, that he meant you're Chayev two carbon chatzuses. Dis Achadacha Chadu Demechayev, because let's reason this out. What do you want to tell me? That Rav Yehuda only is Mechayev one? Mechal Derabban Pacha Lagamre. Now that would mean that the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yehuda is the Chachamim. And he's telling you that you're Pater and Pater Lagamre. It can't be. You just threw something from a house to the Rishus HaRabim. And it traveled four Amos. And you want to tell me you're going to be Chayiv nothing? That can't possibly be. So in other words, the only way that we can reason and understand the Machlokis is that the Chachamim say you're Chayiv one on the Malach of Otzah, and Rav Yehuda it says that you're chayv two because of A, Hotzah, and B, Mavir Dal Amos Bershus Rabim. Ha'afik Lim, Rishus Yach, Lim, Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara now says, no. You know, you may have thought that that was an absurd argument, but the Gemara says, but let's make it. Let's make the argument that according to the Chachamim, you're not chayv at all. Now, how are we going to make that argument? Mimai, Dimalol, Lame, Melchav, Rav Yehuda, Chadu, and Demechav, Rabban, and Pachal, Gamre, Vehech, Mishkachala, Kigon, Da Amar, because maybe, here's the case. I threw an item, and my intent was, I want the item to land immediately after it leaves the door. Okay, that's my intention. And so what happens is that I throw it, it doesn't land immediately after the door, I don't know my own strength, and it goes four amos in the Rishus HaRabim after it leaves the door, after it exits the door, and there... Now, observe. According to the Chachamim, you know how many carbon chatzuses you're going to be chayev? Zero. Zero? That's a funny number. Why zero? Because remember, when it comes to malacha, everything is contingent on your intent. Right? Every malacha is guided by the rule of malachas machsheves. Which means that because I wanted the item to land immediately after I exited the door, and because it didn't land where I wanted it to land, so I'm not going to be chayv at all, period, because nothing happened what I wanted it to happen. Over how can mifligi Rav Yehuda savra min kluta kamisha huncha v'isavdil emachshav aso. So according to Rav Yehuda, subscribe to the world of kluta. Good, it did stop after I left the door. Now.
Technically.
Right. It gets a little bit fuzzy over here because it stopped halachically. Right, it halachically stopped, but your intention was that it should really stop. And here it becomes interesting where the halachic reality turns into your reality. Okay, if you're following me, fine. If not, it's fine. In other words, this part of the Gemara is a little bit tricky. But anyway, but according to Rav Yehuda, you're going to be chayv because kluta kamishuncha. Now, according to the Chachamim, we don't subscribe to this rule of kluta, so now... Nothing you wanted happened. I wanted to land right after I left the door. Didn't. It went four more amos. I wasn't even planning on it traveling four amos in the Rishus HaRabim. So you're not chayv on the Hotzah, and you're not chayv on the Mavir Dal Amos. So, and the Gemara now is going to argue, now if this is the right way to explain the Machlokas, so Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you didn't gain anything. Meaning you thought that when Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, and what he meant by that was Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Shtayim, that was Mechayev 2, we don't have to make that argument. We don't have to arrive at that conclusion. It could be the Chachamim say that you're Patel Lagamre, like we just argued, and Rav Yehuda says you're only going to be chayv one. Okay. And now that we're here, so once again now we tried to stay within Rebbe, that Rebbe Hayyim Mechayev Shtayim, didn't work out so well. We tried to stay within Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda Yehi Mechayev Shtayim, and also it doesn't work out so well. Now the Gemara says, now, when we thought that Rav Yehuda was Mechayev Shtayim, so what was going on? You were doing an Av, and you were doing a Tolada. And we were trying to make the argument, not successfully, but at least we were trying to make the argument Rav Yehuda is Mechayev Shtayim. So Rav Yehuda is going to be Mechayev an Av B'makam Tolda, or Tolda B'makam Av. The Gemara quotes another brayso of Rav Yehuda, Mosif Af Hashoveh V'Hamedaktek. Now Rav Yehuda includes in the Malacha of Ariga, there are two other, right now I want to call them just Malachos, meaning I won't call them an Av right now, I won't call it Tolada, I'll let the Gemara do all the name calling, but right now Rav Yehuda is going to add two more Malachos to the list. Shove and medactic. Now, if you understood weaving, you would understand what's going on right now with shove and medactic. Shove somehow is a straightening out of the vertical on the loom, and medactic is the pressing down of the horizontal on the loom. Okay, I don't fully get it. I'm not into the. I don't see the looming so well. I looked at pictures. Okay, anyway, I tried. But Amru lo shovet haru bechlal, mesach medaktik haru bechlal oreg. And the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda, do not add those to the list, because they're incorporated. Meaning, shovet is included in mesach. Mesach is one of the malachas regarding the weaving process that we already outlined in the 7th perek, on the Mishnah of 39 malachos. And medaktik is already included in oreg. So in other words, they're not separate malachas. They're already included and incorporated in previous malachas. Now, my love, da avinu l'tarvaya b'hadi adade, ushma mina mechayv haya Rabbi Yehuda atolada b'makam av. So the Gemara now wants to try to make the argument that what was Rabbi Yehuda adding these as? He were adding them as avos? The Gemara is assuming no. What Rav Yehuda was adding them as was as tolados. And his point is that even though it's a tolada, and even though it may categorically fit under an av, I'm going to be chayv on an av and it's tolada. That's what the Gemara now is trying to argue. But the Gemara says, no. Dilma la'olam da'av de'le l'chuda v'ha'l'chuda. V'Rav Yehuda atolada b'makam av l'mechayev. No, not necessarily. Meaning, had it been a tolada of the av, you wouldn't have been chayv, because Rav Yehuda agrees to the general consensus position, which is that you're not going to be chayv a tolada b'makam av. Rav Yehuda savra hani avos nenu v'rabban savra hani tolados nenu. And the actual machlokus that's taking place over here is what malacha are we putting them as? Rav Yehuda says we're going to put them as avos, meaning they are going to be now numbers 40 and 41 of the avos. Now, I guess that would mean either what we're going to say is Rav Yehuda doesn't hold 39, meaning maybe for him, malachos means more than 39, or what you could do is a little accounting, meaning if we're going to add these two, maybe we'll subtract another two. Whatever the case is, in other words, what Rav Yehuda is trying to argue is that this shovet and this medaktek are not tolados, they're actually avos. And what the Chachamim then are counter-arguing is that, no, you're wrong. Meaning, we're not arguing about what it is, we're just questioning what category to put it under, and the Chachamim would be more than happy to put it under the category of what we already have, Mesach and Ariga. Okay, Teda. And the Gemara says, and this is really the correct shot in the Braisa, Diktan, Rav Yehuda, Mosif, because Rav Yehuda is adding. What does that mean, adding? You understand, you're adding a major category. That's adding. But you're adding tolados? You don't add tolados. Right, tolados are just simply subcategories within the avos. They just exist. So my Mosif. Okay, period. End of the discussion. Okay, I understand this was a complex discussion, but basically what results is the following. That in our original case where you threw it, in other words, basically our two cases that we've been dealing with over the end of yesterday's daf, the beginning of today's daf, which is really also the end of yesterday's daf, but we're friends here, so it's fine. So, but there are two cases that we've been dealing with. Number one, throwing it from one Rishus HaYachid to another. Sorry. Throwing it from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim with a Rishus HaYachid in the middle, where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says you're going to be Chayev, and we try to make the argument that you're going to be Chayev too. The Gemara says, no, you're just Chayev. Meaning, if there's an act of Hotza, there's an act of Hachnasa, one is its Av, one is its Tolda, you're only going to be Chayev one. Then the other case that we've been dealing with is where I threw an item from a house into the Rishus HaRabim, and it also went for Thomas and Rosh Hashanah, where there Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayev. Again, the argument we try to make is Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayev too, and the Gemara says no, Rabbi Yehuda is not mechayev too, he's only going to be mechayev one. Itmar Nami. We continue in the Gemara. We're about two-thirds down on the page. On Shadi Zayin Amin Beis. Itmar Nami, Rabbah Rav Yossi, Dami Tavai, Lo Chayv, Rav Yehuda, Ela Achas. Good. And here we have the Braisa that says, when Rav Yehuda says, you're Chayv only one. Amalei Ravin L'Rav Ashlam, I desal gadai to mikar demi Chayv, I Rav Yehuda Shtayim. Ilahacha Kabaylei, Lahacha Lo Kabaylei, Lahacha Kabaylei, Lahacha Lo Kabaylei. Now, again, let's go back to that Havamina, even though, again, it's funny. We know the Havamina is not correct. But let's go back to that Havamina. For a moment, we thought that Rabbi Yehuda's one is going to be Mechayev too. How could that possibly be? When I throw an item, I have a specific place where I want it to land. So either I want it to land right after it leaves the house, or I want it to land 4 amas after it leaves the house. It's either one or the other. So how can I be Mechayev too? So the Gemara says, Amalei, ba'omer kol makom shetir tzatanuach. So the Gemara's answer is, I didn't have a specific kavana. Meaning, I'm just happy that it's out of the house. So it could land right after the doorway, it could land 4 amas after the doorway. Either way would be fine by me. Okay. Pshita. The Gemara now discusses more on this malacha of Hotza, and specifically Zarek. It's Kavan Lezrok Shimon of Zarek Arba, Hare Kasav Shemi Shimon. Look, if I want to throw an item 8 amas, okay? I think I got a big arm. And meanwhile, my arm is not that big. Okay? A reliever at best. So and instead of it going 8 amas, it only went 4 amas. So the Gemara right now assumes, oh, you'll be chayev. Meaning, he did throw something 4 amas in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's no different than Shemi Shimon. Remember, we learned this before. If you don't remember, it's fine because we're going to see this coming up in the 12th parak, 13th parak. Okay, it's coming up. So that if I want to write the name Shimon, and I write the first 2 letters, Shin Mem, well, that's a name. And we're going to learn later on that you're going to be Chayev, even though you only wrote 2 letters of the 5-letter name Shimon. So you see that if I do if I intended to do a large act, and I did a small act, you're going to be Chayev, as long as that small act has the requisite shear. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara is arguing, same thing over here. I want to throw 8 amos, it only went 4 amos, okay. Fine, but in other words, it did go 4 amos, and that is a minimum amount that you have to throw something or walk something in Rosh Hashanah to be chayev. Niskam lezrok 4 amos v'zarek shmona. But what if I didn't know how strong my arm was? What if I only want to throw something 4 amos and it went 8 amos? So mahumi armin and ha'apik leo dima hechad debay lo halonach. The Gemara's basic question is, it didn't land where you intended it to land, so maybe you shouldn't be chayev. Now the Gemara says, now didn't we just basically have the discussion just a moment ago where what you could suggest is where if I had the intent of it lands wherever it lands and that's fine, so then you'd be chayev. But if I had a specific place where I wanted it to land and it didn't land where I wanted it to land, I'm not going to be chayev, I'm going to be putter. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, now wait a second. You're reversing your thought from just a moment ago. A moment ago, you thought that if my intent was to throw it 8 amas and it only went 4, you're going to be chayev. The Gemara says, but isn't that the same as Shemi Shimon? Now we all agree, my Shemi Shimon, that you're going to be chayev. So, basically, let's reduce the Gemara's question to really what it's at its core. If in the case of Shemi Shimon, you're going to be chayev, where I didn't intend to write the word shame, I intend to write the word Shimon, and meanwhile, the first 2 letters I write, I'm going to be Chayev. So why should it be that there I'm going to be Chayev? But meanwhile, in all my throwing cases, the item has to land where I want it to land. And if it doesn't, I'm not going to be Chayev. And even if the idols went and traversed 4 amos, I'm not going to be Chayev until it lands where I want it to land. So what's the difference between throwing something and not arriving where I wanted to arrive in the case of Shemi Shimon? And the Gemara says they're not the same. The Gemara says, look, when I am writing the name Shimon, and my intention is to write the name Shimon, what becomes of, how do I do that? How do I get there? It's very simple. I write a Shim, I write a Mem. I write an Ayin, I write a Vav, I write a Nun. Okay, Shimon. Okay, I have to write a Shin and a Mem. Meaning it's impossible to write the name Shimon without the Shin and the Mem. Now, I know you people who know the Hebrew language are going to argue that the Mem Sofit versus a a middleman. Okay, I do understand that. But for now, for our purposes right now, we're gonna ignore that little fact. And right. But the point being, I can write Shimon without writing the Shin the Mem. Those are necessary ingredients to writing the word Shimon. Now let's talk about throwing. Can I throw something 8 amos and not having it thrown 4?
No.
Sure. Meaning, in terms of distance, in terms of linear distance, it's got to go 4 before it goes 8.
Right.
You're right. But I don't have to throw something 4 and then throw in another 4. Meaning, on the throw, on the fly, I can throw it 8 amos without having to throw it 4 amos.
Right.
Right. So in other words, it's not the same. When it comes to Zorik, to throwing, if it doesn't land exactly where I want it to land, I'm not going to be chayiv, period. And end of that discussion. So it's funny, the Gemara starts off with Pshita, right? If you're following the give and take over here, the Gemara says it's so obvious that if I wanted to throw something 8 and I only threw it 4, I'm going to be chayiv. And meanwhile, the Gemara's conclusion is no. No, you're not chayiv. We don't see that often, where the Gemara starts off with something being Pshita, so obvious, and then the Gemara basically ends up saying no, it's not only is it not obvious, but we were wrong about our original assumption. Okay. New case. I know all this starts sounding the same, but this is a new case.
Are we going to get a bottom line for all this?
No. So the... no, some of it, yes. This case over here, I'm throwing four amos in a Rishus HaRabim, but it took a little detour. It's not a curveball, but the item was, I was standing in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I threw it, either through or over a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we could quibble, but I threw it through a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then it landed in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Okay, now let's assume, the Gemara is going to say this in just a moment, but I'll say it right now, let's assume we don't just subscribe to this whole concept of Kluta. Okay, so that means basically what happens. I threw something in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now what's the result? If I throw something, 4 amos in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, I'm going to be chayav. That's mavir, or in this case, zorik dalet amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But here's where it gets a little tricky, and here's the interesting part of the case. It went through a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I can only count 4 amos of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So let's say 2 amos of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim went to the house, and then 2 amos of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So now can I add 2 plus 2, considering the fact that in the middle of those two plus 2 is a house, or in Shabbos terminology, another Rishus. So this is what the Bryce is dealing with. Hazar Rishus Aram, Rishus Aram, Rishus Yachid Behemsa, Dalet Amos, and the total distance that it went, not the total distance, but the total Rishus HaRabim distance that it went is 4 Amos, Chayev. So you're going to be chayav. Pachas me'arba amos pater. Now, if it goes less than 4 amos, you're going to be pater. Now, my kamash malan, ha kamash malan, rishuyos mitstarfos, udolo armina kluta kamishoncha. So there are two basic conclusions that come out of here. Number one, we don't subscribe to kluta. Okay, which we already kind of knew going into this discussion. Meaning, in our Mishnah, it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who says kluta, but the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Akiva. And we did have a position of Rabbi, who also kind of subscribes to kluta, but again, he's a Das Yachid. So you already kind of knew that the consensus position is we don't subscribe to kluta. So that's number one. Number two, and perhaps we could say a bigger chiddush, is that even though it went through Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you could have argued that's a hefsek, that's going to separate our two and our two. Meaning in this case, 2 plus 2 does not equal 4. Because it's 2, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then 2. And you could have argued that that's not a total of 4. 4 means 4 amos in one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the Bryce is coming to teach us, no, that Rishuyos are mitstarfos. That different Rosh Hashanah Rabbims can make the totality of the Chil Shabbos.
Maybe you learn previously in the case if it goes through the Rosh Hashanah, it's like
halacha. Yeah, that is one. That's one Tana's position, but the Gemara over here, and it seems like the consensus halacha is that that's not how we follow. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Hamavri dalamis b'rishos harabim mekura pater. Another exemption regarding carrying something in a Rosh Hashanah. Now, we've talked about this earlier in the Masechta, was Dav Vav, Dav Zayin, I think Dav Vav, where the Gemara gave us the definition of Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim is very simple. Okay, I'll say it, but then I'll retract what I'm about to say. Okay, so, and I'll deny it also, even though it's on tape. Okay, Palmetto Park Road. Okay, that's the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, what is it? It's a wide street, goes through the city, goes from one end to the other end of the city. It's 16 amas wide. The public travel through it. It's a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, that's your working definition. Now, I'm going to retract that because I do carry here, and you can't make an Eruv incorporated within a Rishus HaRabim. So I retract the statement. Okay, never meant it. And part of the reason why we talked about this back on Dav Vav, because according to some Rishonim, Tosfos notably, in order for something to be Rishus HaRabim, you have to have 600,000 people traveling it over the course of a day. Okay, not for now. Okay, that's not a discussion for now. But in other words, but that is the Rishus HaRabim. Now, the excuse me, Rav is teaching us that if your Rishus HaRabim has a roof over the top of it, so in other words, if we were to construct a huge awning over Palmetto Park Road, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. It takes away the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Now, how does he arrive at that? How does he know that? Lefisha eino dome ledigle midbar. The Gemara says because our entire definition of Rishus HaRabim is what they experienced in the Midbar. The construction of the Mishkan is what defines the Rishus HaRabim. And because their Rishus HaRabim did not have a roof, so therefore, the very essential nature and definition of Rishus HaRabim is that it cannot have a roof. Now it's funny, by the way, just as an aside, as a very quick aside, we're trying to define a Rishus HaRabim, and part of our definition of what it's not, it's hard to define something based on what it's not. Meaning, well, and since in the desert, it didn't have a roof, so therefore, our very definition is, it can't have a roof. Right, just in general, whenever you try to define, it's much easier to define what it is versus what it's not. But, okay.
Wasn't there a roof from Hyatt's?
Huh?
Wasn't there a roof from Hyatt's there?
For Mishkan. For the Mishkan. Well, the Mishkan itself was not a Rishus HaRabim. Meaning the Mishkan itself, obviously, once set up, is a Rishus HaYachin. But you're heading in the right direction, though, as the Gemara now is going to point out. Are you absolutely sure that there was no portion of the Rishus HaRabim in the desert that was not roofed? So the Gemara says, now, the Agalos were roofed. Roofed. However you want to say it. Okay. Keep that one in mind. Okay, remember we did this the other day? Okay, Merari had four wagons. And the four wagons, and let's make wheels. Okay. And I'm not getting points for the drawing today. Okay, and what happened was is that the Mishkan was loaded, and we discussed the other day how the beams were placed on the wagons, four wagons, 48 beams total. Right? Yeah, I think so. 48 beams total were loaded on these wagons. Now, actually, later on this morning, we're going to talk about the actual dimensions of the wagon. But right now, what the Gemara wants to argue is the following. The wagons travel through Rishus HaRabim, meaning once it was loaded, once we're moving, so now, obviously, the area that the wagons are actually going through are a Rishus HaRabim. And so, essentially, the Gemara now wants to know, what do you mean it's not roofed? Well, there are two points to consider. Number one is that when the beams were on top and the beams were placed across the length of the wagons, each beam was 10 amas wide. As we'll learn later on this morning, the width of the wagon was 5 amas, obviously meaning that there was extended. So when the beams were placed on top, so the beams create a roof, meaning underneath the area. And furthermore, you don't even need the beams on top, meaning just the wagon itself. If the area underneath the wagon, is that considered Rishus HaRabim? Now, if it is, so then Rav doesn't seem to be correct, because Rav says that if they didn't have roofs in the desert, and now the Gemara wants to make the argument, no, maybe they did. And listen to the Braisa, because the Braisa over here, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Galos Tachteimu Veneim Vitzideim Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Chiya teaches us in the Braisa that those wagons, Tachteim, that's the key word, the underneath area of these wagons, between the wagons, the sides of the wagons, all are defined as part of the Rishus Harabim. Now that obviously creates a problem. Meaning, so that the area underneath them is a Rishus HaRabim, but you, Rav, said that a roofed area is not a Rishus HaRabim, because that's not what was true in the desert. But now, according to Brisa of Rabbi Chiya, it is true. So, Ki Kama Rav B'Darasa. So the Gemara says, well, no, Rav was talking about the area between the rows. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about, the area between the rows? Michte. So, I'm sorry. Yeah. In other words, not what Rav was talking about. What Rabbi Chiya's Brisa was talking about was the area between the boards. Now, Michte. So the Gemara now says like this. Well, what does that mean? Okay, and now we get to really look. Well, I'm going to look at one wagon. And this is a bird's eye view of the wagon. And there were krushim. This is a bird's eye view of the Mishkan. Okay, so it's just a very simple U-bracket of the Mishkan. 8 krushim going on the back end. 10 over here, 10 over here. And each keresh was 1 by 1.5 amos. Okay. Now, the totality of the wagon is 5 amos. Oh, sorry. The totality of the wagon was... It's five long and two and a half wide. Okay? And what we're going to do now is we're going to start piling on the beams onto the wagon. Okay, I do this every year when I put down my sukkah, so I pile the wood.
How many beams are there?
These are 8 going on the back end, and 20 and 20 over here. I said 10 before. I was wrong. 20 over here, 20 over here. So total 48. And the 48 were loaded now on those 4 wagons. So now the Gemara is going to basically work with configurations. And now when you configure, you know there's an infinite number of possibilities in terms of how to configure. So, but in the few remaining minutes left we have in today's daf, we're obviously not going to go over an infinite number of configurations. We'll only go over a handful. Now let's go with probably the more intuitive way of loading the beams, and that would be to put on its wide side. Okay, on the 1.5 side, not on the one side.
Each wagon is 16, then, right? 16. It's 48. Each wagon has to get 16.
12. Each wagon would have to get 16, yeah.
12.
No, 48. Okay, so we're going to put it on its wide side. So that means now that's 1.5. So that's 1.5. Now, I'm going to obviously pile on top of this one. So this is going to be 1.5, and this will be 1.5. You'll forgive me for just being a little bit off, but you get the basic idea.
So you can only put 3...
Three down, and then you'll pile
on top of it.
Oh. Okay. So 1.5, 1.5, 1.5. Cool. Now, if this is going to be our configuration, so we do have a little bit of space in between, but what are we talking about?
0.25.
Yeah, we're talking about, right, 1.5, 1.5, 1.5, that gets us to 4.5. So you're talking about a quarter of an amma space now. Now, quarter of an amma, that's nothing. It's really tiny. And we also remember this. We have this principle called lavud. The principle of lavud tells us that you have anything within 3 tfachim. Tfachim. Tfachim is a half an amma. 3 tfachim, half an amma. If I have anything within 3 tfachim of one another, it's considered as if it's connected. So what Rav is trying to argue is that when the Brisa is talking about tachteham, well, the Brisa means this little area over here. And essentially what the Gemara is going to say is that little area over there?
No.
Can't be. Let's see the Gemara inside. I'm Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya. I'm Gagal Tachtem. I know I read this already, but Gagal Tachtem. My name is Tzidim Rishus Rabbim Ki Kama Rabbi Darasa Mechte. The Gemara says, let's think about this. Orcha Dagal Kama Havi Chamesh. Amin. Pushe Dekarish Kama Havi Amta Paga. Okay, so all the numbers are right here in the Gemara. It's 5 amas long. Each board on the long side is 1.5. Kama Mosif Talsa. So I'm going to lay down 3. Pashalu Pagadamta, that leaves over half an amma. Kishadile Mar, Beni Beni, Kalavadame. And so whatever we have now between the beams is a quarter of an amma. Quarter of an amma. So the Gemara says Kalavadame. So now we have the principle of Lavad. So what Rishus HaRabim area are you talking about now? So Misra is Krashim Apushahava Manachlu, Achudar Manachlu. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go with another configuration.
Rabbi, the second stack would have been done you know, open it so it would cover the gap.
Once again, let me reiterate. You know? The number of configurations are infinite.
No, I'm saying the first one layer, I can understand, but the second, once you put a second layer, you can close that gap by alternating a little bit.
Correct. I understand. I understand. But they're stacking. Right. They're stacking. So the Gemara says, let's put on the thin side. Okay, so the thin side now, not 1.5 amas, but rather the thin side is going to be one amma.
Standing up.
Now, right. If we're stacking, by the way, so I know. If I were there
like
administrating, and I'd say, let's put on the thin side, so I get so much resistance. What are you, crazy?
How
thin
you
side?
Like this? You're talking about straight like that?
Now, in other words, it's look, each carriage is 1 by 1.5.
Right.
So now what the Gemara is saying is, don't put on the wide side,
right.
Put on the thin side. So that's 1, 1, 1, 1. So that's 4.
Straight.
Now, I'm assuming, as the Gemara is, that we're not going to waste space. So in other words, if we're putting on the thin side, and you have 5 amas to work with, so I'm going to lay out 4. And right now, let's assume, even though the picture doesn't do a good job reflecting
five?
It.
Why not 5? Yeah.
Why not even 5?
Yeah.
Okay,
five amas.
I'm with you. And the Gemara now is now assuming, well, and let's evenly distribute. So the Gemara says, if I'm evenly distributing, so that means that I have a little space over here, a little space over here, a little space over here.
A third of an amma.
So again, we're kind of... Okay, again, you understand. There's so many configurations we could do over here. So the... sorry. Sof. Where did I go in the Gemara? I put you, have a manach lo, achuda manach lo. Sof. Sumcha de kerish kama have amta, kama have a mosif arba. Yeah, this is interesting, by the way, that the Gemara wants to put 4, not stack 5 on.
Right.
Okay.
So because you put 5, 10, and the 2,
it just,
keep it even.
All right. Parshalu amta, and the Gemara says, so what you're now remaining is 1 amma, kisha delay, mar, beni, kalava dami. And again, assuming an even distribution, so now, once again, we're back to lavud, and what space between the boards are you talking about? Hanich lamanda, merkrashim lamalamata of yanhama, amma, malamala kalin, vahochin, adke, etzba, shapir. Now the Gemara says like this. There's one other piece of information which we do not know, we do not yet know, and now we will. And that is the following. Were the boards rectangular boards like I've been drawing, or were they tapered? Machlokas amongst the Tanayim, whether the boards were straight or whether they were tapered to the top. Tapered to the top means obviously that this base would be on the bottom, on the ground, and tapered to the top, now it would basically come out and look like a pyramid. Not a pyramid, but you understand. In other words, it would have a triangular shape. And this would actually obviously be on the top.
Where did that get from?
Huh?
The description doesn't say in the Torah.
That's Amud Beis. Okay, well that's Amud Beis of today's daf. Okay, and so now, if that's true, so now what do we have? So now we're given more space. Because if in fact they're tapered and I'm stacking them like this, so now I am going to have some significant amount of space on this side. And maybe that's what the Brisa means when it says tachtehen.
Well, this is the other way. One like this and one like that.
Okay. Infinite number of configurations. we're so Jewish. We're so Jewish here. It's unbelievable. Okay. Kishar delay mar bini b'ok. Okay. That's what Ella man damer kishim shemalatam ovianama kach milamala ovianama ma'ika lameimar. But if the stacking of the beams are actually rectangular. If the shape of the beams are rectangular. So the Gemara now says, so where is that extra space? What's that space tachtem that we're talking about? I'm Rav Kahana, be'et ba'e. So the Gemara says, et ba'e. Et ba'e is a hard word to try to translate. You see the side of the Gemara and make an attempt to do so. Anyway, point being like this. Maybe, let's go back to our wagon. So maybe we'll do it like this. We'll put one here. We'll put one right next to it. We'll put one here. We'll put one right next to it. Okay? And therefore, we're now going to have a significant amount of space over here. Now remember, each one of them, we're still putting it on the thin side. So this is an amma, this is an amma, this is an amma, this is an amma. So I basically now have a full amma of airspace right over here. And if I have a full amma of airspace, we no longer say the principle of lavud. Lavud is only up to 3 tefachim. 3 tefachim is a half of an amud. So now, I have all this space over here. That's what the Braisa means when it says tachteim. The Gemara says, good. So far, so good. Okay, that was a nice way to explain it. But we have a wagon. Meaning, what about this area over here? It sounds like from the Braisa that when it says tachteim, it means underneath, not just under here, but under here as well is going to be Rishus HaRabim. So once again, we're back to Rav. Rav says, well, they didn't have Rishus HaRabim Makura. They didn't have a walled Rishus HaRabim. What about here? Maybe they had, wasn't that walled? Didn't that have a roof? So, Hecha, I don't know how high he traveled off the ground. It's a fair question, I don't know. So, Michael Amemar, Amrav Kahana be'etvai, etvai hecha manachlu, agava degla, agla gufa, mikorahava. And the Gemara is bothered by this very question. Wasn't the wagon itself Makura? So Amar Shmuel, we're on the top of Tzadiches Amud Beis. Big Yesedos. No, you made an assumption regarding the wagon. You thought the wagon had a bed, was made up of a flatbed. The Gemara is saying now that's not correct. The wagon itself, let's take away the beams.
It was a frame.
Yeah, but the wagon was a frame. Right, absolutely correct.
With no floor.
It wasn't a flatbed. But rather, the wagon was basically a frame. Okay, we'll even put, you know, some...
Right?
Whatever that's called. Bracing beams. I make up words.
Cross beams.
Okay, you understand. But in other words, you can be under the wagon and looking up, and you'll see the stars of the sky. So, Amr Shmuel B'Yisedos. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, good. We have a little bit more time this morning. Baruch Hashem, let's go a little bit further. And now we're going to go back over this machlokas about the crushing themselves. So again, the Mishkan is such a simple structure, simple in terms of its architecture. In other words, it was eight beams on the back end, 20 beams going here, 20 beams going here. Each beam is made up of an amma by an amma and a half. And basically now we're going to go over the machlokas inside in the Braisa about how was it a rectangular shape, or as it got to the top, it was tapered to the top. And so the top basically was just simply a ridge and edge. So that if you looked at it from the top, okay, obviously I'm not going to do a good job drawing it, but from the top it would basically come out to a narrow edge. And on the bottom, obviously, the base of it would be an amma by an amma and a half. Or over here, it would be a full amma on the base. Now the problem the Gemara is going to experience is if you adopt this position, this corner is going to look a little bit strange because over here it's tapered, over here it's tapered, and so it doesn't look nice at the edge. And basically what the Gemara is going to say a little bit later on is, we'll clean up the edge. Meaning this corner piece over here, okay, not only is it tapered, it's also, it basically shave it to a point so that this over here will be nice and clean at this edge. Even though the base of it is going to kind of look like that, if any of that makes sense to you. Okay? All this we're going to see inside in the Gemara, and the Gemara is also going to say Pesukim as well. Tanu Rabban. We're on the top of Tzadi Ches Amud Beis. Krashim Melamata Maviyam Amma Melamatan Kalim V'Holchin Ke'etzba. So, Shenamar, and let me first read and then we'll explain. You Tamim Al Rosho. Ulahalan Omer Tamu Nichritu Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. So the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda is that it was tapered. Each one of the beams was tapered. So the base of the beam is an amma by an amma and a half. But as you went up, it then was tapered to an etzba, an inch, basically on the very top. And part of the reason why he knows that is hayutamim arosho. Now tamim is a word which could just simply mean it was complete on the top. But the Gemara's understanding is, based on the pasuk in Yeshua, is that it narrowed as it got to the top. It ended as it got to the top. And so therefore, it was tapered. Okay. And Rabbi Nechemiah, who disagrees and says, no, it was a full rectangular shape from the base all the way to the top. So it says, Yachdav. It was all one piece. Now, as far as the word tamim is concerned, so Reb Nechemiah will tell you, you know what that means? That your krushim have to be made up of solid wood. Not particle board, right? Not the cheap stuff, but in other words, it's got to be the best furniture. It's got to be totally one singular piece of wood. V'idech nami aksiv yachdav. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Yachdav ha'u delo l'shachafunu mehadade. So yachdav means that it has to be aligned. Perfectly aligned. Now, Bishlam Laman Damer Kishim Shlamatam of Yanama Kachmalam of Yam Ama Hainu Dixdevali Arkethea Mishkan Yama Tasa Shisha Krashim Ushne Krashim Tasela Mixaos Dasi Pushe Dahani Mimalalay Lusumcha Dahane. So the Gemara basically says like this. Look, if you're assuming rectangular shape, so basically you understand the corner. The corner works out perfectly. So in other words, here we have now a rectangle. Let's just go with a simple rectangular pattern. So now I have 1.5 by 1, 1.5 by 1, 1.5 by 1. In other words, each one of them are perfect rectangles all the way to the top. I have 6 centers and then 2 in the corner. But then perfect. Meaning because then what's going to happen is that these beams that are coming in from this side and from this side are just being mashlim. They fill it in. So it's not a problem whatsoever. It's a perfect fit. However, if you are of the opinion that it's tapered on the top, so how exactly does that work? Elamand amr milamatan ovyan ama milamalan kalan vahochin ad keetz b'hai ayel v'hai nafik d'shafin le'kiturin. So the Gemara says, not a problem. Because basically, even though they're tapered at the top, and even though what the Gemara is now thinking, I know we already did this, but let's just do this again quickly. So if they're tapered at the top, so here it's going to go basically here. And here, if it's tapered in the top, it's going to go in here. And it just doesn't look right as you arrive at that corner. It's an awkward corner. So the Gemara says, we're shaving. We're basically not only tapering this in this direction, we're also tapering it in this direction. So at the top now, the Gemara says it looks like a mountain. Meaning this corner beam over here, at its base, it's going to go over here. But as it moves towards the top, this is going to taper this way and this way. So it's a nice clean edge at the very top. Okay. Good. And a little bit more for today. Okay, now that's a lot of very tall, thin beams. So obviously we need to keep them together. In other words, for those of you who have blocks in your house, I know I do. Okay, and so you know that if you make something very tall and very thin, so it's going to fall down. Obviously, they want to hold the Mishkan together. So what was there to hold the Mishkan together? So there were a number of structures to hold the Mishkan together, but there was a Briah Chatichon. There was a beam, a rod, that went into, in other words, there was a hole carved out in the middle, and that went into each one of the beams. Now, basically what the Gemara is going to suggest now is that that middle rod went in here, and then made, I don't know, it depends on which way you're going, but basically made 2 right turns. The singular metal rod that was placed in, went in, and then made 2 right turns. Now, obviously that's miraculous. We are talking about... We're talking about the Mishkan, so that's not, it shouldn't be overwhelmingly shocking. So the, but basically, so it was B'nais, it was done so B'nais. And as Rashi explains, Sha'achar Sha'akrashim, Rashi, third Y line, Sha'achar Krashim, Kulon Asunim Ba'adanim, L'tzafon, L'marav, L'daron, Hayenosin, U'mavrich L'shloshat Haruchos. The ain lecha umen yachlasos kain b'neis haya nechfaf me'elav, and that rod turned on its own. So as you were putting that long rod in, now obviously after the crushing was set up, it's nearly an impossible feat. Good, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. It was nearly an impossible feat.
Why do you have to do that? Why not put one this way, one that way?
No, understood. That's going to be another opinion in the Gemara.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so tell you what, let's stop over here. We'll break. Right. We'll come back. So tomorrow we'll finish the construction of the Mishkan. Tomorrow morning, just a technical note, a little housekeeping. Tomorrow morning we're downstairs. We are in 107, whatever. School's got things going on. So we're just a temporary move. We'll be back here after that.
107?
107 tomorrow morning. Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zeva Kohen ben Shem Rivka. Refuah Shlema for Avram Rafal ben Adis Itka. Rabbi Chanai ben Akash Amar Ratzakash Baruch Hu Zakh Sol Ficha Chir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenem Anecha Feitz Mantziko Yadot Rav Yadir.